It's a treasure trove of history. We're talking about the Hawaii State Archives. Did you know it opened its doors in 1906? Well, we sat down with the man at the helm protecting what he believes are the most important documents and records in our state. We take you down to the State Archives to meet a man who loves his job. Here's Adam Jansen.
Well, I have the best job ever. I mean, it's very simple. Because the State Archives has the duty to preserve the history of the people of Hawaii. Our mission here is to acquire, collect, describe, arrange, and preserve the public archives of the state of Hawaii. And as we implement that, it really provides the foundation of the archives, and that is to protect people's rights, identity, property, and their history. And so any records produced by a government entity that addresses those four areas is of permanent value, finds its way here into the state archives, and it's our duty to preserve those records for future generations so that the people can come in and see these records, which really are their records, because this is the public archives. So they can come in and research these records and have full access to them.
There was an event recently in Brazil, a horrible fire with the museum there, and so many treasures were lost. And we would hate to think that something, you know, could happen to any of our museums here where we hold these treasures.
So that's part of why the archives is so important, because we are trained professionals that it is our duty to think about those type of cataclysmic events, fire, flood, tornado, hurricanes, tsunamis, and why we work so hard with agencies to try and pull some of these archival documents out of their offices to bring them into the archives. Because the facility that we're in here was specifically meant and built as an archival facility. It's not a standard office building. The walls here are 20 inches thick. So it is much, much more robust than a standard office building. We have a very high-end fire suppression system. It's a gas suppression system, so there's no water pipes upstairs to flood and drown the records. So in the highly unlikely event of a fire, the gas would go off and douse the fire almost immediately, because the vault area, which is immense, it holds 12,000 boxes of records, has no windows, has no doors, has very few electrical sources. So we've tried to tamp down on all potential ignition sources as well. So we've really built this facility with those types of hazards in mind on how can we best provide for the protection of these records against these types of disasters.
We just came through hurricane season, and it did dawn on me, what happens to the buildings in our historic district? What happens to Iolani Palace? What happens to the state archives?
And that is a great concern to us as well, because currently, while the building is very robust, the bigger concern in such a disaster would be the environmentals. Is if we lost our environmental controls, we keep the records at a very constant temperature and humidity, 60 degrees and 50% relative humidity, plus or minus 2 points on either side. So if we lost that, particularly in the type of the situation that you describe, would have a lot of rain, a lot of water, spikes in temperature, spikes in humidity, we would be dealing with massive amounts of mold bloom very, very quickly. And so for us, the biggest issue is not necessarily the physical damage, but the aftermath of what would happen, because the power grid is very precarious here, and we don't currently have our own power source. We don't have backup power. So we do have a request in through the governor's office that will be going forth this year to get a backup generator system specifically for the environmental controls, because our biggest concern would be that if the power goes down, we lose environmental control. And then now suddenly every little mold spore that we've, you know, tamped down over the last 150 years starts to bloom. And instead of being able to provide unfettered access to public records, we now have a public health hazard upstairs that would cost the state hundreds of thousands of dollars to have to treat.
We did see what happened with the floods at Hamilton Library, and they lost a number of treasures, I think including Prince Kuhio's personal book collection, and that was one of the biggest heartbreaks for the librarian there, was that they were not able to save everything because they couldn't get to everything in time, and they were only able to save one shelf when there were maybe hundreds of volumes. So it's that kind of heartbreak. So I imagine, yeah, you want to avoid that.
And that's absolutely it. It's water is not the damaging aspect. It's the what does the water do? Because if you can address it immediately and freeze the documents, you're okay. But over 2, over 3, over 4 days, then mold sets in, and in which case, you know, it becomes toxic. That's why all of our important archival records are all above ground. So, you know, they're 15 feet above ground, no windows, only one door in, behind a 6-inch thick bank vault door. So we've tried to minimize as much of that water intrusion and environmental risks as possible.
You have a lot of documents here, important, very rare documents. Everything is going digital now. So can you talk about what the archives are doing to digitize some of these valuable documents?
Well, I may be a bit biased, but I would say that we have the most important records of state here. And because they are so important, we are pursuing multiple projects to digitize some of the most important records of state government to make them accessible. Because it's one thing to call this the public archives, but it's another thing to actually make those records accessible to the public. It shouldn't be the public archives, but only for the people who live on Oahu and can get here between 9 and 4 Monday through Friday. That's not fair to the people on the neighbor islands. These are their records too. So how do we provide equal access to anywhere, anytime? What if you are physically incapable of traveling? These are your records too. Why should you not have equal access? So we're trying to leverage technology to the best advantage that we can in order to not only make these records accessible, but also to help us better preserve the records as well. Because you cannot preserve and make accessible at the same time. Because when you have temperature and humidity controlled environments, and you take the records out of those environments and give them to a researcher to look through, you're damaging the record. So you have to balance those two concerns. But if we can digitize, and when I say digitize, we're talking high fidelity, high quality digital surrogates that are equal in quality and fidelity to the originals, then we can put those originals away and ask the researchers to look at the digital, particularly when the originals are very fragile and require very special handling. And then we can also make those digital surrogates available on the internet so that anyone, anywhere, anytime, 365 days a year from the comforts of their home, can then do research on any topic that they choose to look at their records.
I have used that library system to look up things about the palace and about Princess Kaʻiulani, and it's fabulous because you can just be on a computer anywhere and look that stuff up.
So, and we understand what an incredible asset that is. So we're really focusing on those records that a majority of our researchers come in to use. And so that is starting with the two biggest researcher bases, genealogy and land research. So a lot of our focus over the past 12 months have been on scanning our genealogy resources. And so we've done our genealogy books. There's 52 of those that trace family lineage all the way back to the very beginning. We are scanning all of our tax assessment records because in the very beginning of recorded history for Hawaii, there weren't really a lot of marriage, birth, death records because that wasn't something that was done at the time. But government taxation, well, the government sure liked to tax everybody, so there were tax records. So that was a way of finding out about your ancestors where there may not be a birth record. So those become very, very important, particularly in the 1850s. So we're scanning and indexing all of those. We have also scanned all of our land commission awards, royal patents, land surveys, foreign and native testimonies in the land recording department. And we're currently proofing all of those because we don't put anything up unless we've compared the original to the scans so that we can verify and validate that the scans we're putting up are at least of the same quality as the physical. So that the scan looks a little funny, well, it's a little dark and it's smudged in one corner, we can say, well, you know what? The original was dark and smudged in one corner too. And that every single page of the original is accounted for in the digital surrogates.
So what else? The genealogy, the land records?
The tax assessment. I am very, very happy to say that we have also scanned all of our Kalaupapa index cards. So there's 16,000 of those, and that we're having those indexed. And hopefully in the next 4 to 6 months, we'll be able to put those online so that those will be full-text search index searchable. Because that's a very, very important records that we are keeping upstairs that we want to make much more accessible. Because in some instances, that is the only recording of those people's existence. So we want people to have access to that part of history as well. We also did the World War I service cards because thousands of Hawaiians, almost 10,000 Hawaiians, served overseas. And so they need to be remembered as well now that we've celebrated the 100th anniversary of the armistice, the ending of World War I.
And I know you also have a donation of modern Hawaiian history through the photographs of the newspapers, the Star Bulletin and the Honolulu Advertiser, which is no more.
We were very, very fortunate to get the paper photographs from the Advertiser and the Bulletin. That was an immense number of boxes. And so we're still actually working through those because we just simply don't have enough space to keep, it was 350 boxes worth of photographs to keep all of those. So we're weeding out the non-Hawaii related photographs. They didn't keep every photograph they ever took, but they kept those photographs of either individuals or events that they thought were likely to be of historical significance and likely to run again. And so they also subscribed to the AP Wire and World News. So they had a lot of non-Hawaii related events, riots in Times Square and things of that nature. So we're weeding those out and narrowing it down to just Hawaii related news. And so we're still in the process of doing that. We anticipate it's probably going to take another year or two because it is 350,000 photographs. So it's going to take a little bit of while to make those fully accessible, but we're getting there.
That was Adam Jansen, head of the Hawaii State Archives, and he recently brought lawmakers in for a tour hoping to make a case for improved security to safeguard one-of-a-kind artifacts and historic documents, priceless history of Hawaii'i.